If I could just share a little bit out of the Word of God, if you could turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As I'm sure you know, the book St. Peter is a book to those scattered throughout the countries out of Israel, and they were probably scattered because of persecution. And so Peter, through the Holy Spirit, helps people through that and helps them to know that the suffering they're going through is for Jesus' sake, and to keep on keeping on, basically. And here in chapter 2, he's telling us more about how we as believers, what we have and what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 2, we'll just read a few verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. I thank you so much, Father, for all this time that we can open your word. Thank you for your love letter to us. Thank you for showing us just who we are, those of us who are saved here today, just who we are and what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for lifting the veil off our hearts, for taking the scales away from our eyes and revealing to us through your word the Saviour, the living Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're told here in verse 5, that as living stones, we built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. We're told that we are holy priesthood, separated unto God. We are saints in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are priests in God's eyes. Verse 9 says that, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are priests and serving the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. But what struck me about us being priests is that being priests in Christ, there's always a cost. There's a cost to it. Just the same way as there was a cost for the people in the Old Testament who were priests, the Levites, who out of the Levites were chosen the priests. So those of you who don't know, the tribe of Levi came from one of the children of Jacob, one of the children of Israel, but the priests, which in Hebrew is the Kohanim, from which the Jewish surname Cohen, and also a derivative of that Kohen, Cohen actually means priest. So the Kohanim, the priests, came out of the tribe of Levi, and so Aaron was the high priest. And his sons, and so the priests come out come out of that tribe. And so we're told here that we're part of this holy priesthood, this body of priests. And the priests were specially chosen by God, and the tribe of Levi were set apart for God, just like we have been set apart to serve God. They were chosen to be in service, and that was their life, just to serve God. And I can just imagine some of the priests, you know, I don't know if they thought of their heritage and maybe, you know, could say to each other and to the other tribes, well, you know, one of my relatives is Moses. You know, he was this great friend of God. I mean, he was a great leader, and he's my relie, and Aaron as well. I mean, you know, he was the high priest, and he's part of my family. And Miriam. I mean, Miriam, she could play the, you know, what's it called, the. Yeah, the timbrels really well. She was a really good musician, and she wrote a couple of good poems, you know, and bragging about each other and where they were, the chosen lot of people to serve the Lord Jesus. And I sometimes boast about who I am in Christ and how wonderful it is to be one of His children, to be called a son of God, and to know that I've inherited what God has inherited, that I am, verse 9 says, part of the royal priesthood, the kingly priesthood, and I have concessions, and I have things that other people haven't got, being a joint heir with our Savior. But with those things, there is a cost, and there was a cost for these priests of the Old Testament, and with them being set apart, part of the cost is that they were the ones that had to offer the sacrifices continually, every day, day in and day out, be part of offering those sacrifices to the Lord. They were the mediators between the people and God. And it wouldn't have been a pleasant thing to partake in that. Yes, they were set apart to do that, but to be part of offering those sacrifices, it would have been a messy job. I don't know if any of you have been to an abattoir, but I should imagine it would have had that smell of an abattoir, with all the blood and the innards of the animals, and it was just an on and on thing. And so, likewise, God would have us to sacrifice. Firstly, ourselves. We know from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 now, and this verse that Steve Grant, I remember, he wrote down, and I preached a message once, and I quoted chapter 12, verse 1, and he said, you know, brother, that's the 14th time that verse has been used this year. He'd write down everything, Brother Steve. And so it is a verse that everybody knows. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, our bodies. It's the cost that we have to make for being priests, the sacrifice of ourselves to our God. And God says that's our reasonable service. It's holy and it's acceptable unto God. When we, with our salvation, we are made free of sin. We're free in Christ now, and we are dead to sin. But God would have us to now make ourselves His servants, slaves, to voluntarily make ourselves slaves of Him, and to sacrifice ourselves to God. And I believe each one of us have to do that. And people say to us as we go around to the churches, oh, it's such a sacrifice that you've made. You've left your family and you're out there in the middle of nowhere and this, that and the other. And I will say, well, isn't that what God says? Each one of us should present our bodies a living sacrifice. I'm just doing what each believer should be doing. what each of you should be doing. It doesn't mean going out to darkest Africa or anything like that, but each one of us, there is a cost to being a priest of God, is presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to say, "Here, Lord, it's all yours. Do with it what you want." I believe there'd be more missionaries out. There'd be more people surrendering to full-time ministry, to being pastors, if they began in the right way with salvation to present their bodies a living sacrifice. So it's ourselves, and also we have to understand that we are there for other people. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1, it's spoken there that every high priest is appointed for men, and so the whole priesthood is there for others. The priests, the Levites in the Old Testament, were there for the nation of Israel. They were representing the nation of Israel to God, and so we have to understand the important part that we have to play in this whole situation, in our prayers, as we offer those sacrifices of prayer, the sacrifice of our lips to God, that we as priests can come before the throne of God. We've got access directly to God the Father through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a big responsibility. This is a cost of us having to bend the knee to our God, having to live a life that's holy so that we can have that channel and be in fellowship with God 24/7, because we are appointed for men. Have you thought of that? Every time we read our Bible, it's about people. It's about, growing in Christ and becoming a better person for others. Finding out more about sharing the gospel, about getting the word out through the word of God, getting to know our Savior in a more intimate way, finding out more about him so we have other avenues to share with people, so that we can have the right words as we go out and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So it's for others. It's the cost that we as believers have. But also our material possessions. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." To do good, to give to those that are in need, is a sacrifice that's well pleasing to God. Is that where we are? Are we understanding that our work, Ephesians chapter 4, I think verse 23 or 24, can't remember exactly, says that we must we must labor with our hands, and the reason is to help the needy. Our whole reason for going out to work, to labor, is to use what God's given us as a sacrifice to him, as we help others. Our family, yes, definitely, our church, and people around us. Is that our reason for laboring with our hands? No nods. That should be why we're working, not for ourselves, as priests, sacrificing. That's the cost that we make. And being in this, we've got the dignity of kings. It's a royal priesthood. We're really something in God's eyes, and in each other's eyes, we're priests. We've got that that respect for each other and the fellowship that we have with each other as royal priesthood. It's a wonderful thing. And the fact is that as priests, we are fully supported. When you have a look at the Old Testament, the priest didn't own any land. This whole thing of every Australian having a house and all that, well, it's except for the priests. They didn't own any land. They just relied completely on God through what the people gave. The tithes went to the priests. You see it again and again. The redemption money went to the priests, the showbread, the flesh of the burnt offerings. So the priests did their work in the temple, but they couldn't go out and say, "Wife, I'm going out to earn some bread today. There's nothing in the house." That is a humbling thing. There's a cost involved in that. And some of you men, you'd know what I'm talking about. How you feel the times when you when you've had nothing for your family, when you've lost that job, or you're a low earner, and you feel that guilt, sort of maybe not a guilt feeling, but a feeling that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing as a husband and as a father, and you want to do something about it. But as priests, we're fully supported. Yes, we have to go out and work, but we have to understand that the cost is that our possessions are not ours. It's not ours. Our inheritance is in heaven. And that what we have to do as believers, as priests, is to rely on God alone and not on our own strength. And so we have to understand again and again, and I have to bring myself to that conclusion that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so as priests, we are separated from the world. Verse 11 and 12, we're told of this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your lifestyle, what you're doing in this life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." I mean, those priests, the high priest and their sons and all that, they wore the special clothing. I mean, as they walked around, everybody knew, there's the priest. That's the priest walking down the road. We're priests. We have to have a good testimony 24/7, don't we? People out there know more about you than what you think. They probably know which church you go to, even though you've never told them. They know that you're one of those born-again ones, and they're watching. They're checking out. And there's a cost to us for that, being priests of God, because it shows. As we go out into the public, we are priests going out. And so God would have us to live a life that is holy, to live a life that is a sanctified life as we give way to Him, as we deal with our flesh. And it is a big cost. It is a big cost. We want to give in to the flesh. It's a day by day, minute by minute thing, and we know a lot about it out in Zambia because the people that come out even for a week or two, because the people there see us as being spiritual giants. We don't do anything wrong. We've got it all together. We don't go through struggles. It's only us that do it, but not you guys. And I try and tell them, I say, look, I'm just a man, just like you. And I go through things. We all go through things. But fellow believers see the leadership. They see the children of the leadership as being spiritual giants. But we have to be those spiritual giants. We, each one of us, are priests. Each one of us have to know that there's that cost to living the life as a priest of God. I read about the city. It's called, what's it called? The lost city, the forbidden city, the forbidden city in China. And that was where the king lived, in the forbidden city. And nobody was allowed into that forbidden city unless you were some big dignitary. But the big thing is that the king was never allowed out of that forbidden city. In that city, he had everything. Any luxury he wanted, anything that he required, he could have. But he was not allowed to have anything to do with anyone or anything outside of that city. So he had no communication. He had no TV. But he lived a life of luxury. We live a life of luxury in Christ, separated unto God. We have Christ's righteousness. All the promises we've got, but we can't go out of the city. We can't go and experience what's out there in the world. Well, the last king of the Forbidden City, he decided that he was going to live like differently, not be like his forefathers, not go by the old paths. So he demanded a telephone, and he started speaking to, I suppose, other kings and presidents and what. He demanded a TV set, and he started seeing all the things out of the Forbidden City, and he wanted those things. And eventually he left the Forbidden City, and he started living the life that people were living outside there. Well, that was the last king that's ever been in China. That was the last king, because he decided to leave what he had. And he thought that things could get better by him leaving. But in fact, it got worse. Let us not think as priests that we can go live the life of the other 11 tribes. That we can lead our life and just like everybody else and decide not to witness, but that if somebody wants to know, they'll ask us and decide, I'm free. I don't have to go to church on Sunday. And you are free. Oh, I'll stop going to church and I'll just live stream. All these words are new to us. I'll live stream and I'll grow just as much. It'll fail. You might be the last one in your family. We have to understand that there's a cost. There was a cost to that king to remain king and to have that inheritance. And there's a cost to us. Let us understand that and to rely on God's grace to live the life of a believer. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. I love you and give you praise for everything you've done in my life. Father, I just am so grateful for saving me. I just thank you so much for giving me a new life, a new song in my heart, a new heart, and all the promises and all the things that I've inherited through what your precious Son did on the cross for me. Help me not to underestimate that. Help me to live the life that you'd have me to live as a priest. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.